Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. There is a place for you to belong here, and we believe that we are better when we are together. And so we give God thanks for all who have chosen to worship with us this morning. Today we're in the midst of a holiday weekend. I know that's not news to anyone, and we're going to be exploring a theme of freedom in worship today as we stand in the tension of the freedoms that we remember as we celebrate and honor our veterans, and yet we also hold up with that the freedom that God gives us through Christ and through the living Spirit. And so as we enter into worship today, we're going to be continuing in our series of the language of faith and exploring the good old Baptist word of freedom. In that line, I want to offer to you all the freedom to move forward or move closer together if you want to. It feels like we're fairly dispersed, and if that's more comfortable, you're free to stay where you are. But if you feel like moving, get up and do that whenever you feel moved by the Spirit to do that. Just as a reminder, in this season of resurrection between Easter and Pentecost, we are exploring many words of our faith, words that we hear around church halls and in conversations with church friends, just reminders about the journey. We have talked about belief and doubt. We've talked about discipleship. We've talked about good news, and this week we talk about freedom. And so we prepare ourselves for worship, thinking about the words from Paul in the letter to the churches in Galatia. These may sound familiar to you. For freedom, Christ has set us free. And also in that same chapter, we get the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all of those things, freedom and all the gifts of the Spirit, are woven in together. And so today, as we continue our series of the language of faith, I pray that God is breathing new life into the spirit of freedom that exists within all of us. So let us stand and worship God together.
Let's stand. I do think we couldn't be more spread out this morning, but I know that is no reflection on how you feel about one another. But I will say that there is a correlation. The distance that you have put between one another equals the volume with what you must sing when we sing our opening hymn, so that you feel as if you are one together in this room. So I do give my welcome, and I hope you will join us in singing this opening hymn in just a moment. What I love as an anthem of what this church represents, to call all people into this space. It's a safe space. It's a space that is still being created, that gives voice to everybody in these walls. Let us be called to worship with the words from the psalmist, Psalm 119. I will live a life of freedom because I pursue your precepts. I will even testify of your decrees before royalty and will not be humiliated. I will find my joy in your commands, which I love. And I will raise my hands to your commands, which I love. And I will fix my mind on what you require. Do not forget your promise to your servant. Through it you have given me hope. This brings me solace in the midst of my troubles, that your word has revived me. And with these life-giving promises, may we sing to the God above. Let's sing. Let us build a house where love can dwell and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to forgive. Built of hopes and dreams and visions, rock of faith and vault of grace. Here the love of Christ shall end divisions. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
us build a house where prophets speak and words are strong and true, where all God's children dare to seek, to dream God's reign anew. Here the cross shall stand as witness and as symbols of God's grace. Here as one we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Hear the outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring an end to fear and danger. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us build a house where all are named, their songs and visions heard, and loved and treasure taught and claimed as words within the word. Built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of praise. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Good morning. Our children are not with us this morning. Many of them are probably celebrating and taking that extra day off from school tomorrow to enjoy some time away. I do hope that you will remember all of our students, from our littlest ones to our graduating seniors, in the next couple of weeks as they face exams and end-of-year projects and EOGs and all of those things that come with the last few weeks of school. I hope that you will remember them in your prayers and remember their teachers and their parents. May and the beginning of June are tough. So I hope that you will remember all of them as you pray this week. If they were here this morning, had a children's book for us to read together that reminded them of the things that we just sang about, how all are welcome and how church is a place where everyone can come, everyone can find love, everyone can find acceptance. So I hope that we here at Greystone can show our children just that. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, we come to you this morning with humble hearts, and we come seeking your love, your wisdom, your guidance, and your peace. Help us here at Greystone to be a church where love dwells and love grows, a place where all feel safe, all feel loved, and all feel cared for. Help us to be a people of hope and of forgiveness. And may we set our eyes and our hearts on the things that you have taught us are important and true. Help us to be a place where young and old alike come to seek new understanding and boldly and bravely ask hard questions so that we might all learn and understand. Help us to truly love all who enter these doors as family, the true family of God in which all are important. All are valued and all have a way to love and to be loved. Let us build a house of love where all are welcome. And on this morning, we especially remember all whose lives have been lost because of war. We pray for those who grieve and help us as we together continue to work for peace now and forevermore. And as we think about freedom, let us think about freedom in a new way. Freedom in Christ. Free us from the things that pull our attention and focus away from you. Free us from the things that clamor for our attention, and free us from the expectations that the world places upon us and that sometimes we place upon ourselves. Help us find our freedom in you to truly live into the people that you have called us to be. People who consistently practice love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help us to be the people who live freely into the calling that you have placed on our lives to be people of God in all that we do, in all that we say, in who we are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand. Yeah.
gracious and faithful God, as we approach Memorial Day, we pause to remember and honor those who bravely fought and died for our country. As we cherish our freedoms daily, may we never forget their sacrifice. May we always also remember the sacrifice and price that Jesus our Lord paid on the cross for each and every one of us for freedom from our sins. With this in our minds, may the gifts of these tithes and offerings further the work of this church as we strive to do God's will. In your name, amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly hosts. Creator, Christ, and Holy Ghost.
Hear these words from the Epistle to the Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. What the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It is appropriate that our word of the week this week is freedom. Believe it or not, it wasn't planned out that way. But as Memorial Day holiday approaches us with cookouts and high temperatures and humidity, there is a promise that summer has arrived. There's talk of freedom everywhere, all different kinds of freedom, from freedom fries and hot dogs to freedom sales at our favorite stores. And all the freedoms that we enjoy as American citizens, we don't talk about them every day or every weekend, but it seems like this weekend, appropriately, we do talk about them. For Americans, we tend to think about freedom as a uniquely American concept, especially this time of year. And while we are grateful for our many freedoms, it's important to remember that we Americans were not the inventors of the idea or the word. In fact, I would like to think, as a theologian and a Christian and a lover of the Bible, that this concept dates all the way back to the beginning. Remember the creation stories of Genesis, in which God creates humankind, male and female, and places them in the garden and gives them freedom. Their story reminds us that freedom involves both choice and consequence, whether good or bad. Later in our holy text, Paul reminds us of other freedoms: freedom from law, freedom from culture, and yes, even sometimes freedom from religion. It was for freedom that Christ sets us free, Paul writes to the churches in Galatia. As Baptists, we know freedom in yet another sense, as was famously, well, at least for Baptists, outlined in a 1993 book called The Baptist Identity: Four Fragile Freedoms. Now, I don't own the book, and I hadn't read it until this weekend. I found it in Books on the Corner, and it truly is remarkable. I believe there are two copies, so while I still have one, you can check out the other. Fortunately, we are not limited to one word, the author of the book writes. We're not limited to one word that summarizes Baptist identity. But I, Walter Sheridan, the author, continues, I am convinced that the one word that comes closer to than any other to describing the historic Baptist identity is the word freedom. According to Sheridan, this freedom manifests itself in the four areas of Christian life: salvation, which he calls soul freedom; religious authority, Bible freedom; church life, church freedom; and civic life, religious freedom. Of course, with freedom comes difference, and yes, sometimes even conflict. But this is part of the spirit of Baptist life. You've heard the jokes: get three Baptists in the room and you'll have how many opinions? Five. Baptists have always been passionate about their opinions and their freedom. You might say it is our unique calling. A quick glimpse at Baptist history can remind us of this truth in case we are suspicious. In the 17th century, when Baptists emerged in England, there were already two different kinds from the beginning, General Baptists and Particular Baptists. And what did they disagree on? Salvation. General Baptists believed in free will and the ability for someone to fall from grace. And Particular Baptists held firm in their belief of once saved, always saved. In the 18th century, Baptists differed on things like worship style, education models, and lifestyle decisions. I know that's hard to believe, and this caused more differentiation and more different kinds of Baptists. In the 19th century, we disagreed on biblical interpretation, and we even disagreed on our Baptist history. In the 20th century, opposite beliefs on slavery and segregation and racism marked Baptist divides, and they're represented by two prominent Baptists, a preacher, Martin Luther King Jr., who built the civil rights movement on biblical principles of freedom, on the one hand. On the other hand, a restaurant owner, a politician, and a lifelong Baptist, Georgia Governor Lester Maddox, who championed segregation, again, based on the Bible. Baptists are people who are called to freedom. We always have been. We always will be. Some might say it's our superpower. The Baptist commitment to freedom changes and evolves over time, and it unfolds differently in the lives of individual Baptists and individual Baptist churches. For that reason, we hold fast to soul freedom and church freedom, which give us the grace to grow and expand in faith and mission at our own pace and as the Spirit comes to life within us. This is why every Baptist is different. Every Baptist church is different. For Baptists, according to Sheridan, freedom always comes with responsibility. Bible freedom is held accountable with study, and Baptists are held responsible for studying the text using the best academic resources available, he says, and also with an open mind and a reverent spirit. Soul freedom must ensure that every individual has the right to say yes or no to following Jesus without persuasion from church, culture, or family. Church freedom holds members responsible for participation in the full life of the church, not only in the decision-making, but also in the mission and ministries of the church. The fourth and final freedom in Sheridan's work is called religious freedom. And contrary to popular belief, this is not a one-way freedom given to churches by the First Amendment. Rather, it's a sacred commitment made by Baptists to uphold and to reinforce moral and spiritual truths as they pertain to all people. It is our responsibility, Sheridan asserts, that we need to pray for the state and we need to declare judgments of God as they relate to government, to responsible citizenship, and to the rights of all people. For Baptists, separation of church and state is more like a holy covenant of relationship and accountability. Baptists are people called to freedom. We always have been. We always will be, I hope. Paul's letter to the Galatians was written around 40 or 50 in the Common Era. During this time, there were many different kinds of slavery that were introduced and then reinforced by Rome. The economy was held up by domestic workers and agricultural laborers, and even more specialized workers like physicians and accountants worked with little to no pay. And yet, there was another kind of slavery happening in the Roman territories, at least in Paul's letters. He identifies a spiritual slavery known as slavery to the law. This spiritual captivity, Paul says, kept Jews and Gentiles alike subjugated to the religious laws and practices of the day, and it relied upon an us and them mentality to sustain itself. Maybe we can understand why the inclusions of the Gentiles and the expansion of the church was so wrought with conflict. This effort was trying to bring people together, two groups of people diametrically opposed on all the critical issues. The churches in first century Galatia struggled to figure out how the freedom of Christ might come to life in their midst, in their congregations. And so Paul offers them some guidance so that they might know how they are going to live into these freedoms. In the reading from today, he says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Well, since we're taking a historical look today at freedom, I think we should also take a historical look at these words from Paul. It seems critical to acknowledge the tension of these biblical words. For some time, interpreters have misunderstood them, and they've misinterpreted the contrast between flesh and spirit, equating flesh with body, and thereby placing blame on our bodies and our biology for the temptations that we experience. Body, over time, has become synonymous with sin, and the very gift of our humanity has morphed into the curse of enfleshment. For Paul, however, the works of the flesh are not about bodies. They are about a characteristic of a way that our lives are lived. Works of the flesh, to Paul, are characteristic of a comprehensive way of life that stands in contrast to the way of life in Christ. To live concerned with the flesh is to focus on finite things of this world rather than the eternal things of God. It is to accept smaller freedoms over the greater freedom offered in Christ. Now, our list may be a little different from Paul's in the letter to the Galatians. After all, it's only been 1900 years or more. The things that imprisoned the Galatians were things like adherence to religious law, especially concerning circumcision, which we talked about last week. They also struggled to release the laws of culture, which insisted on a class hierarchy and a slave economy. With pressures from both state and religion, the new churches in Galatia struggled to maintain the freedom that was found in Christ. "Release all of that," says Paul. "Let go of everything that takes your allegiance away from the Spirit of God alive in our midst. Whether those distractions come from Rome or from religious officials, you have to let them go if this thing is going to work. Choose instead the greater freedom of the living God, the freedom that looks like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Let these be the focus of your life, not those other things. Christ has set you free. Now go and live freely in the Spirit." I have to admit at this point that there is great irony in our current Baptist reputation and our historic Baptist identity. Baptists in America, and especially in the southern states, are known more as people bound by an old religious law recorded in an ancient book, more than we are known as people who are following a living God and have a spirit of freedom. Baptists are not perceived as freedom lovers, Sheridan says, in 1993. Baptists are not perceived as freedom givers, despite the world's deep need for a free and prophetic voice for God's love in this world. Baptists are not perceived as freedom lovers. I wonder why that is. I wonder how we lost our spirit of freedom. Are we afraid of what might happen if we release our past, the ways that used to work, the things that used to make sense when we were younger? Are we scared? Are we afraid that if our sons and daughters experience or express their faith a little differently than we did, that it might not grow as strong as our own? Are we afraid that if we let go of one thing, everything else might begin to unravel? Are we afraid? Or maybe it's not that we're afraid. Maybe it's that we are enslaved and we can't even see it. Maybe we're captive to our own nostalgia and grief about what might have been. Maybe we are imprisoned by personal losses that paralyze us and confine us to a moment in the past that is long gone and never coming back. There are so many things that are ready to hold us captive as a church and as individuals. Because our world and sadly even our religious institutions stand ready to offer us smaller freedoms. Freedoms like individual success or salvation. Because those things are so readily available, many are suffering under the yoke of slavery and are hungry for a greater freedom that can only be found in the living God. We are searching for freedom. We are searching desperately for financial freedom and freedom from a performance culture. We need to be freed from our own perfectionism that sets us up for failure and tells us time and time again that we will never measure up. We need to be freed from all kinds of addictions, addictions to screens and substances and healthy, unhealthy rhythms of life. There are so many things we need to be freed from. It makes me wonder what it is that we as a church need to be freed from. Are there conflicts and disagreements from the past that keep showing up in the present? Maybe we need to set ourselves free. Is there grief and pain over losses that we've endured together? Maybe we need to set ourselves free. Are there ministries and programs that used to serve us well but don't seem to have the same reach anymore? Maybe we need to set ourselves free. Free. Free and open to the new thing that God may be trying to birth right here. What is it that needs to be set free so that we can accept the greatest freedom of all? What will it take for us, for Greystone Baptist Church, to become freedom lovers? Whatever it is, I believe it has to begin with grace. For us to become people of freedom, we have to truly forgive ourselves for all the times that we've traded in God's freedom for the lesser freedoms that this world has to offer. We've got to forgive ourselves, and we've got to forgive one another. Only then can we extend the grace required to freely follow the Spirit of God that is free in our world. And after we have released ourselves from all that holds us captive, we have to let ourselves receive the grace from God that feels like freedom. We have to receive that grace so that we can go out into the world and bring a message of hope and healing to all of our neighbors who are hungry and searching for that greater freedom that God offers. Freedom is God's ultimate gift to humanity. Freedom from the many different kinds of prisons that we like to experience. Those false freedoms may look good for a little while, but they pale in comparison to the freedom that we know in God. Poet Maya Angelou captures this concept beautifully in her poem, Caged Bird. You can read the whole poem on the inside of your worship guides, but I want to read the first two stanzas. A free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream till the current ends and dips his wing in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied. So he opens his throat to sing. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Free from the guilt and the shame of our past and free to live as God's beloved children. Free from the myth that we can and must do it alone and free to live our lives woven together in beloved community. Free from the grueling pace of our performance culture and free to live lives that make time for relationships to grow and blossom. Free from obsession with the treasures of this world and free for the sake of God's holy work, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, and raising the dead. Since we have been set free, let us not give in to the yoke of slavery ever again. Instead, may God give us the courage to leap on the back of the wind and ride in the river of the Holy Spirit, set free in our world. May God make us brave enough to reach up and to claim the sky, proclaiming the good news that God has and is, even now, even for us, setting us free. Thanks be to God.
With those words from Pastor Christy, we are led into a time of response. And may we do that in the spirit of freedom this morning. This is a safe space to do that. And I invite you to come down front if you'd like to share something with Pastor Christy. She'll be here to receive you as you see necessary. So can we use this time to submit ourselves again to the work of the Spirit? Let's stand as we sing.
There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's judgment, which is more than liberty. There is no place where earth's sorrows are more felt than up in heaven. There is no place where earth's failings have such kindly judgment given. For the love of God is broader than the measures of the mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more faithful, we would gladly trust God's word, and our lives reflect thanksgiving for the goodness of our God.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace with one another.
As you make your way back to your seats, I do want to draw your attention to a few things coming up that you'll want to be aware of. And one of those takes place this Friday, the senior adult trip to the historic Halifax, North Carolina. That'll take place Friday, May 31st, this coming week. So I believe there's still a sign-up sheet in the hallway, so you want to visit that if you're still interested in making that trip. Another thing is our annual Summer Music and Arts Camp, which comes up in just a couple weeks on June 17th, Monday through Friday. We are still looking for helpers for that. So if you're in this room and have not committed to help in some way, even if it doesn't have to do with music or arts at all, we certainly can use some of your leadership. There's still space to sign up for that, so direct all your friends and neighbors our way. The best place to go would be just to our church website homepage, and you look for the Music Camp banner. Click on that, and you'll have all the information you need. You could sign up online. So we're very excited about that upcoming event, and we hope that you'll help and partner with us in making that successful. Another thing, this coming Sunday is Grad Sunday. Just as you make your plans for next weekend, just make note that that'll happen in the 11 o'clock service. If you want to celebrate our grads more specifically, show up for the 11 o'clock service. It'll be a great morning of worship and celebration. But in the 8:45 service, we'll be doing something a little different, which will be kind of the trend as we go through the summer months. So just be aware that as you show up on Sundays, 8:45 might be a little shorter, might be a little bit more, more informal. So just be aware, certainly these people in this room this morning, as you make plans through the summer, that may change just a little bit as we go from week to week. And then lastly, a week from Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but a week and a half, we'll have our church conference right here in this room. That's at 6:15 p.m. I don't think there's a dinner that night. So just mark the time on that. Sometimes we do events different times in the evening. Make sure that you're here at 6:15. We don't want you to miss any of that meeting. And again, that's a week from this Wednesday. Lots of things to be aware of, and certainly a busy weekend for you as you move forth. So may we be sent with a song, this song that allows us to put words to our commissioning as we go forth from this place. And let's follow those words as we sing our way out.
Called by worship to your service, forth in your dear name we go. To the child, the youth, the aged, love and living deeds to show. Hope and health, goodwill and comfort, counsel, aid and peace we give. That your servants, God in freedom, may your mercy know and live.
Sisters and brothers, as followers of Christ, we have been set free. We have been set free from all which threatens to hold us captive and all that keeps our minds narrow and closed. So in that spirit, as we leave this space, let us leave with this blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and move through them. May God take your hands and work in them. And may God take your hearts and set them free. Amen.